south, east, and west, as long as you are on the East Coast. It's other times everywhere else. Joining us right now via the BetQL guest line is Dan Wetzel, columnist for Yahoo Sports, best-selling author. Check out the books out there right now, Epic Athletes for Youngsters. Dan, what's up, dude? Thanks for making some time for us.
Hey, always good to be on. Hope you're well.
We are doing well, dude. There's a lot for us to talk both from an NFL standpoint and a college sports standpoint, but I got to start with kind of the talk of everything in Washington is Jaden Daniels and how he has turned around this Commanders team.
I assume you guys are pretty excited.
That might be an understatement.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, you know, he is just such a talented player. And I think, you know, the question for him has always been his, like, slight frame. And it was maybe one of the reasons he was at Arizona State first, and then he goes to LSU, and there were still kind of doubts, like, would he hold up? And it, maybe that's – I mean, he went second overall, so it's not like he was really downgraded by the scouts. But that's always been the question, and I feel like sometimes, like, everyone looks for what a guy can't do and not what he does do. And I remember I rarely write with my predictions, so I'm going to take a moment when I am. But I was all over him winning the Heisman preseason last year. I should, you know, I don't bet, but I should have. Because I said this is the most talented guy in the country in college football, even more than Caleb Williams. And, you know, again, the question is, well, can he – he's going to get hit. He's fine. He's fine. Mm-hmm. And ended up being that. And I think – talent-wise, his ability to throw the ball, his poise, his experience, all of that. I'm not going to say this isn't surprising, because anytime a rookie comes in and plays as well as anybody in the NFL, it's going to be a surprise. But it's not a total shocker, I think, for those who watched him play college football.
I agree with that, man.
Not at all.
I think – I also saw you had a column. We were just talking about what the Aiden Hutchinson – injury means for the Lions. I know you wrote about that.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions are playing really good ball, but he is such a Detroit, and what do they do to kind of overcome it?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple angles on Aiden Hutchinson. One, obviously he produces, right? So he got a 7.5 sack while breaking his leg. He also, if you watch him just play, the motor on him is just ridiculous. He's chasing down everything. He commands a lot of attention from an offensive line. It opens up a lot of other guys to make big plays. So Detroit is a really talented team, really young, really talented. Everyone seems to be getting better each week. They're very, very well coached. They have everything going for them. But what is that, taking Aiden Hutchinson out? That is a big piece of a Jenga tower. And what does it? How does it impact? Do they have enough to still win the NFC, win a Super Bowl? Yeah, I think they do. They're going to get somebody in there, but this is a big, big loss. And then you just wonder on two other angles, like leadership, culture, all of that, which Detroit has an incredible amount of right now. I mean, it's just a fun team to be around, because it feels like they're all pulling in the same direction. Feels like a college team at times, but just with incredible amounts of talent. And then there's just sort of the fan part, where it just, when you have a guy that's just so popular and so much represents a team, you might be able to replace his production, but just kind of stinks. You know, you're just like, yeah, you know, like I like this guy, and it would have been cool to win with him or lose with him, whatever it is. It just stinks as a fan. And Lions, you know, Lions fans have had so little through the years, and now they're rolling, and it's like, there's a sort of different elements to it.
Do you think they're very active when it comes up the trade deadline to get somebody to try and replace that?
Probably. I don't know that they'll be able to get, you know, everyone's like, get Max Crosby. He's a guy, went to Eastern Michigan and all that, bring in another guy like that. I think that might be too much. But they're going to bring in some kind of edge rusher. They have a ton of cap space still, 20 plus million. So they can take on a big contract, and they, have so much talent around on that roster. Brad Holmes, their general manager, is just on a heater. And maybe this isn't a heater. This is just how good he drafts. But his last four drafts, since he took over, have just produced, you know, three, four, five starters each time. And so they just have so many good players and so many of them on cheaper deals that they're able to do a lot of stuff. So the idea that they have this roster that I think, you know, compares with anybody, almost anybody in the league, and yet you're sitting on $25 million in cap space and you still have all your draft picks is pretty amazing. So they have the option to make a big move. I think they're going to try to see how they play without Aiden Hutchinson and before, you know, panicking or making a huge move that would give away future draft picks.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense. You still got two games before the deadline.
Yeah.
We are talking here on the BetQL guest line with Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. Covers it all, columnist, writes about the NFL, certainly college football. Let's switch gears over to college football. This has been a wild season so far. You got Bama losing to Vanderbilt a week after beating Georgia. Oregon surviving that Ohio State game. Penn State surviving that USC game on the road. Who had the most impressive weekend for you last week? Maybe it's Texas just beating the hell out of Oklahoma.
I would still give it to Oregon. I think the Ducks getting that win, you know, has allowed them. It is probably the greatest regular season win in the program's history. If it isn't, it's really close. When you can get Ohio State in there and you have a record crowd and so many people watching and all of that. And I think the thing with Oregon's always been, you know, they've had skill players or they run this offense or that. They have Dan Lanning. He came there from Georgia as an assistant coach, and they're physical now. And to me, it was like a real statement that, yeah, we're here and we're going to be a factor in winning the national championship. We got all the tools here. So I would still give it to them, even if it was a close victory. Certainly Texas just, you know, kind of gets their business done, but they've got the big one this week against Georgia. But like you said, it's been a wild season. There's a lot of parity. The playing field in the sport is leveling out, particularly at the top. It's really an exciting time for college football.
Is the NIL helping that? Because I mean, you
absolutely.
Look, well, I think the what's it called, the portal. The portal has really helped it.
But
where the big schools can't just control everything anymore.
No, I mean, if you look back even 5 or 6 years ago, let alone 10, we'd enter seasons with like three teams. You'd like, they can win the title. You know, we'd have playoff games, semifinals, someone would win by 35, 40 points. Like, it was, you know, all right, there's Alabama, LSU, and Clemson, or that'd pretty much be it, or maybe Ohio State that year, or maybe. But now, the only way to compete at the high level was to just keep signing top five recruiting classes year after year after year after year. You get four or five of them in a row. Now you got your program stacked. You had such depth. Nobody could really compete. And you saw so many conference races weren't really close. It would just be down to one or two teams. You know, you'd just be waiting for Ohio State and Michigan to play or something like that. And even that wouldn't be close. Ohio State would blow them out. Now, as you said, the transfer portal and NIL, it allows all sorts of different schools to compete and get players. And you can't stockpile. A kid's not going to sit there and say, wait, I'm third string, I'm second string. I'm going to go start over here, and I'm going to get some money because I'm a starter. And so not only do you see more teams with players that could potentially win the national title, you see those traditional powers a little weaker and lacking that depth. And then you see the middle of these conferences with more good players. So like a Vanderbilt, you know, they didn't just beat Alabama. They had the ball 42 minutes in that game. They brought in a new quarterback, Diego Pavea, from New Mexico State, is a really exciting quarterback at New Mexico State, if you paid a lot of attention to college football. But they also brought in three offensive linemen, and that offensive line was stacked, and they could go toe-to-toe physically with Alabama, which probably in the history of Vanderbilt football has never occurred. And Alabama doesn't have this stockpile of future NFL draft picks anymore because guys sit there and go, hey, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go here. And so everything is leveled out. I know people, coaches hate NIL. They hate, they're inconvenienced by NIL and the portal, definitely, and they complain about everything. But it is such a huge advantage for college football in terms of everybody getting a shot. It's made the season way more exciting. It's everything that people said, like, oh, Alabama will get everybody, everyone will transfer, the rich will get richer. We've been saying the whole time it would be the exact opposite. Economists would say that isn't how human behavior works. But if you only listen to college football coaches, they think that's what they think. But it turns out, not it. Everybody's good.
Totally. And I think a lot of coaches didn't want to deal with it, so they say bye.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Someone else take that job.
Totally. Dan Wetzel here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow Dan on X at Dan Wetzel, W-E-T-Z-E-L. Dan's got a series of books out there for young kids to read called Epic Athletes. Dan, I want you to know, while we've been chatting, I looked at Epic Athletes, and I just ordered your Alex Morgan and Simone Biles books. My oldest daughter loves soccer. My little one wants to be a gymnast, so there you go. You sold two books by coming on with us.
Good How job. About that? We love it. Thank you. They're good for sure, like, dude. Middle school. Like, they're the old 100-page, like...
Yeah, dude, I remember those as a kid.
Bio, yeah.
My 9-year-old will read it herself. I'm going to have to read it to my 5-year-old. It'll be fun.
Yeah. 9 will be good. We got Caitlin Clark coming out in the spring, too. Got Steph Curry. We got Kevin Durant, local guy there for you.
There you go. Sure.
LeBron. We got 11 of them. Serena. Oh, cool. We got a whole bunch. Lionel Messi. They're fun.
I don't want to cause trouble because I have no idea how the pricing is set or whatever, but I did notice that the LeBron book was like $3 cheaper than all the rest of them. I have no idea how or why.
No comment. I don't know.
Mahomes,
none of them are expensive, though. None of them are expensive.
No, not at all. But this is just on Amazon. Mahomes is $8.36. Kevin Durant's $8.36. Tom Brady's $10.99. LeBron is $6.59.
You know why? Because a lot of them don't know who LeBron is. They probably don't know what Tom Brady is.
Maybe.
But the people you're buying it for.
Yeah, who knows?
LeBron has sold pretty well. That's actually one of our best sellers. I don't know why.
See, you can drop the price on it now. You can drop the price because you made
a volume play. Yeah, who knows?
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. I just write them after that. Yeah.
Dude, Dan, I wanted to ask, man. I recognize maybe it's still too early for this, but – in the top 10, you've got Texas, Oregon, Penn State, and then Miami that are all undefeated. And then a whole bunch of one-loss teams. But if you're just looking at the rankings, there are a bunch of undefeated teams way further down the rankings. And that includes Army and Navy, and I get that they're maybe in a separate category. But you got Power 4 conference teams. Iowa State is 6-0. BYU is 6-0. Indiana
against though.
I mean, they're playing Big 12 teams.
Yeah, but the teams may not be good. You got to look at the whole aspect of it.
When does that start to matter?
Well, it starts to matter when we get to the playoff weekend is going to be like, it's a knife fight, man. It's going to be a whole bunch of teams with two losses going, but we had game control here. Oh, you know, we got that win. Middle Tennessee, we beat them there. That bad. Something like that. It'll be everything. It'll matter as we get down to how many bids the ACC and the Big 12 get. Like, is the Big 12 just going to knock itself off and only get an automatic bid? Or do we end up with, say, undefeated Iowa State playing undefeated BYU at the Big 12 championship game, and you go, hey, maybe the loser gets in also. Mm,
yeah.
And then it's one less bid for the Big 10 and the SEC. And that's what they're kind of all fired up, are how many of these things work themselves out. But you are correct. There's a whole bunch of undefeated teams. Indiana, they're playing Nebraska this weekend. It's a huge, really, really interesting game. And in the past, without this playoff, nobody cares. Because you're going, Indiana, great. You're not going to make it. You're not going to run the table, right? Eventually, you got to go to Columbus in, like, November. You got to go. I think they play Michigan and then Ohio State back to back. So, cute season, but now it does matter. Like, Nebraska, Indiana matters. in a game because they got potential. Pitt is undefeated. They've got a great season going. Iowa State, as you mentioned, the whole Big 12, anybody could win that thing. It is wide open. BYU, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Arizona State, even Colorado still, they only got one league loss and their schedule opens up. All sorts of potential all over the place. So, Army-Navy is fascinating because you could end up in a scenario. Now, they both have to beat Notre Dame, but you could end up in a scenario where – actually, they don't even have to beat Notre Dame. You could end up in a scenario where they play for the week before the traditional Army-Navy game. They play the Conference USA Championship game. The American Athletic Conference Championship game. They could both finish undefeated in the league, having not played each other, because they play their league game obviously on a special date, right? So you would have back-to-back Army-Navy games with the potential for a playoff berth on the line. And you could have Army and Navy play, and the game, the American Athletic Conference Championship game is played at the home field of the higher-seeded team. So you could have, which never happens now, but can you imagine this? Army visiting Annapolis or Navy visiting West Point. Then they play the week again, a week later in the traditional, which I think is in Landover this year.
Yeah, it's at FedEx or Northwest.
Yeah, and that game always – so, but just imagine Army in Annapolis. Just blows your mind. And, like, the pageantry and this huge game in a stadium that fits, you know, what do they fit, 30?
25,000, yeah.
Yeah.
And West Point, won't have enough room. Say it like that.
You don't have enough room, but it'll be incredible. And as you guys know, I've been to Annapolis. I've never been to a game at Navy. I have been to a game at West Point. Like the scenes at those places are just so great, and I can't even imagine Army
For
Navy.
Sure.
So we're a long way away, but can you imagine that scenario popping up?
Now, one stadium they do have plenty of space is Texas in Austin. Yeah. Georgia coming to Austin this weekend. You probably got 25 guys that are going to get drafted on the field in this game. What do you make of that matchup?
You'll have more than that. Like over the couple years?
Yeah, over a couple, sure.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be a game with like 35, 40 guys over the, you know, on the two rosters. Huge game. I mean, Texas has looked absolutely brilliant. That said, their own really impressive victory is at Michigan. How good is Michigan this year? They don't have a quarterback. Hard to say. Georgia obviously loses that late game, late to Alabama. They have looked shaky. Georgia needs, you know, we talk about the playoff. Georgia could lose the game and still get in. You could. You'd have two losses. You'd be walking a tightrope at that point. But you also may end up like a 10 seed and have to go on the road and not get a bye. You have to play four games, including a road game, so there's a lot at stake for Georgia not to get that second loss. And obviously for Texas, they have a feeling like, hey, we've got the best team. We got the best team in the country here. You play under any scenario, no one's going to beat us. So huge opportunity for both teams here. Tons of talent will be, again, like last Saturday night's big game, Ohio State, Oregon, when you're watching and going, oh, man, there's NFL guys all over this field. Like, there are totally skilled players. There are line. Like, this is a high, high-level game, and that's what it's going to be on Saturday night.
Cool. Hey, Dan, man, we really appreciate your time, Dan. Dude. Everybody give him a follow, at Dan Wetzel.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Hey, man. Appreciate
you. Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports. Check out his columns weekly. Here's what we're going to do. Dan Quinn set to address the media in just moments. A whole bunch of roster moves just came down from Washington. They got D-line trouble. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. Listen, as I build a same-game parlay for Thursday night football game as the Broncos take on the Saints, I'm going to be Alvin Kamara-centric, okay? Plus 132, 40-plus yards. rush receiving, plus minus 184 for 60-plus yards rushing, and minus 120 for any time touchdown. That gives you plus 359. Put your 100 down, you can win $359. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older, present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 106.7 The Fan, as we come to you live from Commanders Park out here in Ashburn, Dan Quinn is addressing the media. Let's take a listen.
I was into that, and I told the team that comes in leaps, and you don't always see it. And I asked him, would our team today beat our team from 7 weeks ago? And the answer was yes. And we got a lot to sharpen, and we got a lot to improve upon to get stronger at. And that was kind of our messaging, going right back into today and what that looks like through a week, to dig right back in and emphasis on getting better and what area for you. And so that's our goal. And ready to get rocking with you guys.
So you guys made a couple roster moves today, putting Javonte on IR. Is this a short-term situation for him? And also, will Dorrance practice today?
Dorrance will not practice today. And, yes, we're hoping it's shorter than longer with Javonte with his ankle injury. So we're hopeful that it's, you know, at the limit, and we'll get a see for there. It's too early to call today, John.
So, and you guys obviously have some, you know, banged up a little bit there. And you has anything accelerated because of your 4-2 start in terms of how you want to build this roster? You look around the league, there's a few trades going on. What is anything changed with that as far as how you guys approach things? And what is the challenge of even adding players at this point if you wanted to go down
that? Right, and that's a good question for Adam, but we talk about the team all the time, you know. So although there's a deadline, it doesn't mean there's a, you know, time that you have to, you know, begin that. And so we spent a lot of time on the roster and the team, and you're right that we did get banged up into some spots, and that's why we are fortunate that the practice squad is bigger, you know, than it was years ago. And you guys can remember that when, you know, there was four players, you know, and then the street list was different and you went through that. But now there's I feel like a really good developmental plan of people that are in the building and practicing and playing. And so when those opportunities come up to go deliver, and although people may have not played a lot of reps, you know, they get their chances. And you probably heard me say it before, but J-Mac is certainly the one that comes to mind for me of when his number was called, you get ready to deliver. And that's just such a pure example for us.
Brian Robinson, another injured guy. Any sense if he'll be out there today for practice?
Yes. Yep. Brian will be out there today, which is, we're really pumped about to see him doing well. And it was hard not having him, but in the sake of what's best for him first and then for the team, it was the right call.
And you mentioned, John asked about the deadline, that maybe it's more of a question for Adam, and you guys have kind of made that clear, the defining of the roles. Part of the reason separating the roles is because GM is thinking bigger picture, coach is thinking typically about today. Knowing that, does that, do you get like, I kind of wish we could do a little bit more because you are focused on the here and now?
No, because I don't, get into, the what ifs and where we're at. The thing that we spend, you know, the time on it, hey, is there anything that's stressing you? Is there, you know, a spot that we need to address and go through? So that's really more where our time's spent. But you're right, there's a lot of people around this time of year that get calls, give calls, all of that. And I think that's just kind of part of this time.
Just going back to Dorrance Armstrong real quick, so what is his status? Like, are you concerned that this will be a longer term thing with him?
I'm not concerned on a longer term, no. If it was, then it would have been, you know, like a IR move to go. So he's not going to practice today. And so, you know, we're just going to take it as we're going. But knowing Dorrance, like, this is a tough competitor. And so I know he'll put the work in to get, you know, better and get, you know, back to play just as soon as he possibly can.
And I know you've talked before about, you know, marrying rush with the coverage. With so many changes up front, I mean, how do you keep that from straining the back end of the defense?
Yeah, the good news is that we did add some people today, but by and large, the people have been in here. So whether you're in the practice or in the game, like, that's super important, Nikki, to make sure that handles in the very correct way that we want it to. And so we had, as the old saying, go two steps forward, one step back, and took a step back into that space. And we certainly intend on getting that back to the way that we need to, for sure.
Good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
Speaking of where you guys have come from to where you are today, at the same time, knowing your personnel, I know you guys have done a lot to kind of mix and match people and figure out where to best utilize guys. How well do you feel like you know your personnel at this stage?
Yeah, certainly a lot better than the 7 weeks ago to how to feature guys and going. You know, certainly the running back room is one that has emerged of how to feature guys and doing that. And I think there's a lot of room to grow in a lot of spots. We've liked how we've used safeties and nickels and linebackers in different spots. You know, sometimes you see Frankie on the edge and sometimes behind the ball. So I'm in, you know, still, excuse me, still growing into that space. But I would say that we know a lot more now. And I think, like, the receiver probably is the best example of moving guys and featuring them in a different ways. And so, you know, the addition of Noah, you know, right there, you know, at that time was a big addition for us, too.
And then Dave Canales is a coach that, you know, in his first year calling plays in Tampa last year, didn't really, like, solidify a full-blown running game identity. I guess is kind of the best way I can try to put that, but he's making a concerted effort to do that in Carolina this year. Does it make it any trickier to prepare for a guy when you know he's kind of still developing his own identity in one part of the game?
Yeah, it's fully fully grown in terms of the run game there. You know, I've got a lot of respect for it. The interior of their line is exceptional, both in the run game and the pass game. But you see the yards per carry, and so they have to do a nice job of the run game, the play pass. I think the addition of Andy, you know, has leveled out some of the things there. But those are some things that jumped out to me was the strength of their run game, their ability to cut it back. You know, I was certainly impressed in studying them. I'm not surprised by Dave and the staff that he put together that that's a strong part for them.
Now that it's been a couple days, is there any kind of more fallout from John Allen being gone for the year? Both the player he is on the D-line, but just the presence, a guy that's been here a long time as guys get back into the building and prepare for Carolina?
Yeah, I thought, what a great line by John. Just, you know, as opposed to, hey, don't feel sorry for me. Here's a good chance for you to get more chances, more opportunities. And that's what a leader does, you know, knowing that there's other guys in the room that are, you know, will step up, you know, specifically Johnny. And knowing that they're ready to take that challenge on. But I thought that was a great moment by him of allowing in his space of a tough and dark time to say, this is a good opportunity for you, man. Go get it and go take it. And everybody deserves those chances when you go for it. And this just happens to be one of those times when, and all of us have been in that spot, like, hey, man, this is your chance. And you go absolutely go for it and go for it as hard as you can.
And then with Johnny specifically, but then that kind of D-tackle rotation, how will that change? What are expectations changing for Newton?
Well, it'll certainly change the rotation. Sheldon Day will also be a part of that moving forward. FA is somebody that can work inside and outside. So, but it'll change the rotation of people for sure with a heavier load for Johnny, no doubt about that.
What's, after a loss, I know the guy said in the locker room afterwards, this is a test and we want to be in these tests. In the last couple of days, what's been the reaction? What have you seen from your guys?
Yeah, I saw, number one, a lot of people here yesterday, and that was their day off, but whether that was them getting in, getting their workouts, getting treatment, and so just to see the amount of people here, you know, without the coaches, I thought that's a good sign, Chick. Just think of the guys are getting here to work on the stuff they want to work on to absolutely throw a great week. And specifically, there's things that the team wants to work on, whether that might be third down. We got a bigger emphasis for that today. Some things in the run game that we wanted to get ironed out. And so that's what I challenged us on, honestly, like, can we get stronger? And there's all sorts of ways and opportunities to do that. And those leaps, although the thing of like a spring you're putting down, you see it uncoil and all this energy takes place. As the players, they don't get to see that, but it's going to happen again in this leap. But you got to go put the work in to, you know, another 4 or 5 weeks from now, say, okay, that's when I started that, and now I'm getting better at it, and that's where our challenge is. And that we've got great regard for Dave and Carolina and everything else, but it does come back to us saying there's a lot that we need to get stronger and improve upon, and like, we are going to work really hard to do that.
Hi, Dan. After, you know, a tough loss, sometimes you rely on your leaders in that locker room. I'm sure, you know, the Terrys, the Bobby Wagners. But has there been a different kind of leader that's surprised you a little bit? Maybe that's been more vocal, or somebody that's asserted himself that maybe you weren't expecting to kind of take that type of role?
There are quite a few, actually. Andrew Wiley, Sam Cosmi, I thought, and specifically at the offensive line, you know, at the end of the game, we're going to learn from this. You know, like, agitated, been out of shape for sure. But also knowing that, you know, what we need to get done. And so I felt that, you know, for certain on their side. I certainly am feeling like Quan Martin's energy, you know, coming through and the confidence from him to do that. I've always felt it from Luvu. I'd always felt it from Armstrong. So those are a few that come to mind that I'm just, you know, kind of picturing back to the locker room right now.
You know, you look at the records and they're 1-5, right, Carolina? But you know, any given Sunday, anything can happen. Do you have to remind your team of, like, don't look at the records? I mean, anything can happen type deal.
We don't. And the reason is, like, so much of the focus is on us. Like, we've got plenty to work on, Scott. And, like, we are absolutely going to go sharpen our game as strong as we can. And knowing that that will pay dividends, you know, moving forward. But, no, we're absolutely going forward as hard as we can. And we want to see those leaps and that progress take place. And that's what we intend on doing for sure.
Hey, Coach, the team is retiring Darryl Green's number this weekend. Can you talk about, like, the kind of player he was and how important he is to the franchise?
Yeah, it's amazing. And so to get a chance to be a part of that, like, that is really cool. 19 consecutive years with an interception. That one just slaps me right in the face in a very good way. And you want to talk about, like, standards and doing things. You know, Walter Payton, man of the year, off the field, Super Bowl champion on the field. And so clearly a guy who not only had his football world in order, but his off the field world as well. So just the fact that we get to, you know, kind of be around and knowing that's going down this weekend, big alumni crew coming in, it's awesome.
All right, that's Dan Quinn talking to the media. We're going to take a quick break here, but when we get back, we will talk about everything that he discussed. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
All right, B.
I can't hold it much longer.
They got a lot going on the D-line.
Yeah.
We all knew Allen. Allen's done for the year. Maybe there's some miraculous Super Bowl run. For our conversation's sake, he's done for the year. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, you and I both watched him walking, and the x-rays came back negative, but it didn't look good.
Maybe a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
He said it's an ankle. He didn't say what.
Yeah. Or it could also be ligaments, but it could just be the high ankle.
He said he don't expect it to be that long.
He's on IR.
Yeah, but IR, he
can
be
IR can be 4 weeks. Right, which is still kind of long. I mean, that's a quarter of the season.
Well, if you're looking at the whole thing, though, I'm saying, like, right, John's gone for the year.
Right.
He can come back in 4 weeks, possibly. And I think when you look at it like that, if he's out for 2 to 3, you want to best put him on IR so he can bring somebody else up. They have two people coming in.
Well, now you don't have time to mess around anymore.
Yeah.
There's a time where you can chill and just, you got a big old fat practice squad. Nah. You can pull from that.
Now you got to start doing your thing.
Let's just run through all the moves that were made. John Allen, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, that's the rookie out of Notre Dame, previously Ohio State. Both of them to the IR. John is probably staying on there. JJB, we'll see what happens there. They signed Sheldon Day from the practice squad. There's a big difference in signing him during the week from the practice squad than elevating on Saturday night. Sheldon Day is now a part of this team, basically, going forward. Little background on Sheldon Day. Fourth-round pick in the 2016 draft. Has played a number of – I mean, he's played 74 NFL games. Never really a starter, but certainly a rotational piece for some defenses. You know, he's played as much as kind of 30-40% of defensive snaps in his career. He's going to be – like last year with the Vikings, he played in 6 games and about 30% of their snaps. So that, you're talking about a rotational piece. Big fella, certainly. 6'1", 294. Went to college at Notre Dame. So Sheldon Day is now on your roster. So your new rotation is going to be Payne, Newton, Mathis, Day, Obata a little bit. Like, they're going to move it around.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about now. And then to backfill, also they signed Jalen Holmes. A little bit about Jalen Holmes. He is more of an edge guy. They're obviously going to need edges because Dorrance Armstrong
and Jean-Baptiste.
Right. Dorrance Armstrong didn't finish last week, and DQ just said he's not going to practice today, which leads me to think he ain't even playing this week, but they don't think he needs IR. Maybe that's premature. We'll see.
Yeah, that's that premature stuff, Jay.
The way he said it and what we saw last week, I got a feeling, but we'll see. Jalen Holmes has been on the Jets. This is a guy that was drafted fourth round, 2018, played his college ball at Ohio State. Clearly, they think there's something there. He is 6'5", 280. That's a unit right there.
Yeah.
And then they also bring in Carl Davis to the practice squad. Davis has experience with DQ from the Dallas days.
Yep.
You know, he was in Dallas last year with him. And Carl Davis is kind of a big fella, 6'5", 340. Been on a big fella.
Yeah, that's the Volkswagen, dude.
Yeah, he's been on a number of teams, played his college ball at Iowa, was a Ravens draft pick way back in 2015. It's a lot of moving parts on that for that D-line room. And that's not to say it's necessarily going to go bad, but it's a lot of moving parts.
It's a lot of moving parts, and you know, it's not a guarantee to be good. You may have some guys get an opportunity that may go out there and just play well. Or they can play the other way. But I think ultimately this group making moves seem to have a stockpile of where they can go if something happens. Because this moved quickly.
Well, dude, he talked about how different it is now because you have these expanded rosters. Practice squad rosters. And I think that's totally true. DQ also was asked about trade deadline coming up, and he's like, man, I talk to Adam about the roster all the time. It's not like we're talking more because the trade deadline's coming. Probably talking a little more. But I think their conversations right now are, yo, we just got decimated at D-line and we can really use a corner. And I think that would be happening if all these injuries happened in December after the trade deadline.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're scouring right now for D-line help.
I think if they go out there and they can see that these guys can play okay, they will feel good about it. But coaches, see, we sit here, we see Andrew, we start thinking. Coaches may see lack of play, and they're already thinking.
Right.
So I totally agree with him when you say they talk more often than you probably think. And when you're looking at the fact that the secondary hadn't been playing well and, you know, we haven't been having – Mr. Russ, they probably were talking about those positions already. That's why they were able to go so quickly to it.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, AP was really good late August when he talked maybe after roster cuts. When he said, you know, odds are you're not changing your team very dramatically this time of year. Once you get into the season, unless you're making blockbuster moves like trading for Amari Cooper or something, kind of got who you got. And then you have to react as the injuries pile up. I do think if they're right about Johnny Newton, the guy they thought he was, could become, if all the foot injury stuff's in the past, Newton got a hell of an opportunity.
Hell yeah. And you got to take it full force.
Totally.
A lot of people get their jobs by somebody else's misfortune.
How do we feel about waiting for opportunity to knock versus kicking down the MFing door?
Do it. What you call it? Remember the wrestlers, how they did do the double kick.
Yeah.
That's the way I do it.
And lastly, this was cool. Dan Quinn was asked about Darryl Green. Obviously, there's the jersey retirement ceremony this weekend, halftime of that game, which is going to be very cool. Darryl Green's also getting a key to the city on Saturday. I think fans can attend that.
I'll be there.
If you don't have a ticket for the game, you can just go to the – that's public, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can just go.
Well, I think it is.
I think so, too.
I better not be saying all this.
Right. I mean, you know what else people can do is Google. But yeah. DQ was asked about Darryl Green. He's like, man, I'm really excited to be a part of this thing. He brought up a stat that was just outrageous. At least one interception every year for 19 years.
Yeah. I heard that's my second time hearing him say that. And that says a lot, dog. You know, we talk about a lot of people doing stuff, but hell, every year you get one for 19, that's a long time, brother.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
All right. Neil Greenberg joins the program next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. With the record heat this summer, I know your air conditioner took a beating and your current brand is not cutting it through this humidity. So now is the time to switch to Rood. Take advantage of Rood's $2,000 tax credits. And Maryland residents, you can even score exclusive rebates from Rood. I personally switched my house over to Rood, and the difference is night and day. So trust me and visit Rood.com to find your savings. That's Rood.com. to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't rude, it ain't right.